Oh, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am now chatting with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. And Jesse, usually I kick off the show with you, but I wanted to more or less wrap up the show with you because we're going to jump around to a number of different markets, starting with the bond market. Now, I know this is nothing new for anyone who follows along with the markets and especially follows along with our show, but yields around the world just continue to move lower. That's a trend that even the central banks are getting on board for, and it's a trend that the market has really grasped onto. There seems to be just this underlying and general fear for investors around the world that, you know what, the overall health of economies around the world just is not there. But let's dive into the U.S. bond market and how yields, even on a yield curve basis, continue to get compressed and continue to move lower, especially on the long end. What are some of the characteristics that you think are noteworthy about this continuing trend?
Well, this, you know, I look at the 30-year yield, and if you look at the 12-month rate of change, this is the steepest drop in interest rates over a one-year time frame that we've seen in at least 50 years. And so, you know, the last time they dropped this quickly was 2016, and then they backed up immediately after that. Before that was 2008. We saw, you know, yields drop, you know, at about a 40% year-over-year change. And yeah, they backed up very, very quickly after late 2008. And so, you know, I think that when you have this kind of a plunge in yields, at least historically, it's pretty clear that, you know, this is pretty much the extent of the move. You're not going to see much more out of bonds, I think, over the next couple of months. And what's really interesting about that to me is, you know, first, it's probably not good for bond prices. But second, you know, the gold price is probably the number one driver of gold prices recently has been this plunge in yields. Gold's really negatively correlated to real interest rates. And so when real interest rates fall, gold price does well. And you've probably seen the charts where people show the amount of negative yielding debt growing every day and the correlation of that to the gold price. And so I think bond prices have really been a strong driver of gold prices recently. And for a number of reasons, gold looks like it's kind of due for a correction. If yields kind of back up like I expect them to, then that would probably be, coincide with some type of correction in the gold price.
Well, to your point, I think there's something like $17 trillion worth of negative yielding bonds right now, which is just a staggering number. But with how quickly yields have crashed, you look at the 10-year in the U.S. and in October, it reached a high of about 3.25%. And now we're the whole way down below or almost right at 1.5%. Now, you are saying that because of how extreme this move has gotten, you think that it could slow down a little bit or even move in the opposite direction for a short period of time. Do you think that's going to be driven by some sort of news event, or is this just simply a too strong, too fast move?
I think this is a blow off top in the bond market. Honestly, I think that, you know, this has been panic buying into the bond market. And whenever you see panic buying, it's usually, I mean, it's like the panic buying we saw in gold in 2011. You know, when people buy out of panic, they're not paying prices that are sustainable. And I think that's where we're at right now with bonds, is that people are paying, you know, absolutely insane prices. And I don't think, you know, that bonds are going to continue to rally at all. I think we're probably very close to a reversal in bonds where they will reverse meaningfully lower over the next 6 to 12 months. Now, that doesn't have to come from a resumption in growth. And I think this is where people kind of are maybe off base in their bond investments right now, is people assume that growth and inflation are always go hand in hand. And that for bonds to sell off, interest rates to actually rally, would require a resumption in global growth, or at least in growth in the United States. That's not true. I mean, I think maybe nominally growth could increase, or you know, get back to that 3-5% level even. But if inflation, you know, begins to really become an issue here, the bond market could sell off even if real growth doesn't look attractive at all. I mean, that essentially is, you know, what we would call stagflation. And I think, you know, this is something Alan Greenspan's been talking about for a couple of years now. We're headed towards stagflation. I think we're there right now. And you look at the, you know, GDP now number that the Atlanta Fed puts out, they're looking at 1.5% real GDP growth for the current quarter. And we have inflation. You look at CPI or PCE, both those numbers, if you look at them on a 3-month annualized rate, they're well over 2%. And so I think we're seeing slowing growth and rising inflation right now, which is really not healthy for bonds or the stock market.
Yeah, that is kind of a scary scenario. But you know what? So much money has been flowing into the bond market. And a lot of that, I think, can also be attributed to central bank policies. But if we see this blow off top, take a breather, or money flow out of bonds, where do you see that money going?
You know, I think over the next, and this is something we've talked about, Corey, for, you know, months now, is I'm very bearish on the dollar. I think that's part of an inflationary dynamic, is you'd have to have the dollar reverse lower. And that would come from, overseas investors saying, look, the U.S. deficit's getting out of control, and they're not talking about reining in spending. They're talking about all kinds of new spending initiatives, like debt forgiveness for student loans, and you know, whatever infrastructure spending, and maybe a Green New Deal. You know, money is going to flow out of U.S. assets once that realization happens that the deficit is out of control. So money will flow back to Japan, it'll flow back to Europe. And actually, this is where you find some of the most attractive opportunities on the planet. Michael Burry from The Big Short fame was recently talking about some of the value, incredible value he finds in small cap Japanese equities right now. But emerging markets are incredibly cheap. The CAPE ratio on the United States is 30 right now. Emerging markets is 15. It's less than half. It's roughly half the valuation of the U.S. stock market. So I think tons of money has flowed into the U.S. market over the past decade, and that money is going to flow back out as a result of direct result of U.S. fiscal policy. And I mean, we're talking about right now, both political parties about, you know, explicitly weakening the dollar. And what's that going to do for overseas investors? Going to say, you really want to try and, you know, devalue your currency, then, you know, you sent me a very clear message that I should stay away from treasuries and these types of things. And so I think that's, the money doesn't necessarily need to flow into another U.S. asset. It could flow, you know, back out of the United States pretty easily.
Well, and that is very true. So much money has come into the U.S. And you know what? The U.S. has been relatively the strongest out there compared to other markets. But now maybe a general change. There are a number of undervalued other areas out there, but still that kind of cloud looming over everybody with that global growth concern. But what does that all mean for gold, though? If we do see a bit of a pullback in bonds, so yields do move higher, if we do get inflation, then fine, real yields then still maintain in the favor of gold, but does a little slowdown in the bond market then just slow down that gold price as well?
I think we are due for a short-term correction in gold. If you look at hedgers are selling forward tons of production. You look at speculators, large and small speculators have huge net long positions on right now. So there's some euphoria built into the gold price. And like I said, it's escaping. It's directly related to the panic in bonds, panic buying in bonds. Longer term, I'm very, very bullish on gold, though. So I'm, you know, at least keeping core positions on, even if I've taken trading positions off. And the reason for that is, if interest rates go up, if inflation goes up faster than interest rates, that would be very, very bullish for the gold price. And obviously, a longer term dollar bear market, very bullish for the gold price. But in the short run, I think we're probably due for a correction in the precious metals. Maybe not so much silver as much as gold. Silver is still, you know, pretty cheap relative to the gold price, and the momentum in the silver market looks really, really strong. So, you know, I would look to see, you know, expect to see gold correct a little bit more than silver if both are due for some sort of correction right now.
Fair enough. Gold still has broken out to a much greater degree than a lot of these other precious metals. When you talk about a pullback, though, or especially when we look at gold after its breakout level at about that 1360 level, it shot up almost $200. And that's a pretty powerful move in really under 3 months. What type of correction would you think would still be healthy?
You know, I think whenever you see a breakout, you know, it's kind of classic trading strategy to look for a pullback and a test of that breakout level. We haven't seen that with gold. It broke out and it's just continued to scream higher, which, I mean, you could argue is just a testament to the amount of, you know, buying power behind it. And the, I mean, the fundamental bull case for gold is still very strong, but I think it would actually be really healthy for gold to pull back to that breakout level, wherever that is, 1370, 1400, something like that, would be, you know, a 10% correction. And when you look back at the last major bull market for gold, you had corrections that were at least that big, if not two, three times that big. So it's something to expect. I don't think it means to get out of gold completely and wait for that, because a lot of times bull markets don't give you those opportunities when you're looking for them. But I do think that's a very real possibility, that gold comes back 10% or so, maybe a little bit more, to that breakout level. And that would be a wonderful buying opportunity, or to put back on trading positions that maybe have been taken off recently.
Yeah, and to your point, that would be a very natural correction, especially when you consider just how quickly this market has moved. But still, if you hold some of those underlying stocks that are doing some very good work or generating some nice profitable numbers, not totally out of the question to at least hold on some of those and maybe even ride that correction a bit lower, because they might not correct nearly as much. Let's also just quickly compare gold to the US dollar. It seems like both have been moving higher in tandem. Now, gold obviously moving higher to a much greater degree than the dollar, just creeping higher earlier this week. The dollar did touch in that 99 region in the dollar index. How do you see this correlation or lack of correlation playing out moving ahead?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly have been bearish on the dollar and wrong for, you know, the past year. Although the dollar index did peak in early 17, late 16, and it still hasn't taken out those highs. So I do think this is still a bear market rally in the dollar. But I think, you know, what that tells me is the dollar could roll over and sell off, and gold price could still correct, because you know, we've seen gold soar in the face of the dollar rallying. And so that doesn't really kind of prohibit the dollar from correcting, even if the dollar does, the gold price correcting, even if the dollar rolls over. So I still think the dollar looks really toppy to me, and is due to resume this bear market that began in early 17. But that doesn't necessarily, I mean, longer term, that's going to be very bullish for gold, but in the short run, maybe not so much.
All right, let's also look at the U.S. equity markets, because the S&P has been trading pretty much within this range for just over a month now. Keeps on testing out that 2940 level. As you and I are recording it, it is, again, closing in on that level. What's the importance here, and what do you think about the general trend of, it seems like U.S. markets being much more range-bound right now, less of a buy-the-dip mentality coming in?
Yeah, we have been, you know, kind of range bound in the S&P 500. You know, you could look at it as just a trading range. You could look at it as potentially a pennant, you know, pattern that's forming. It looks to me like it's more like a pennant maybe. And we've had some false breaks on either side of it. But to me, we saw over the last 12 months, we've had over 40 Hindenburg omens triggered on the NYSE and the NASDAQ, which is essentially, you know, when Hindenburg's only triggered when the market is near and at a new high or near a new high. And you have a surging number of new lows in addition to new highs, which you shouldn't have rising new lows when the market's near a new high. And we've had tons of these Hindenburg moments trigger over the last 12 months. Recently, we had, I think, 10 or 12 of them trigger in over just a one-month period, just in 20 trading days. So when you see these types of clusters, this is usually a really good sign of growing dispersion within the stock market, and it's due for a correction. If not, you know, I mean, we've never seen 40 Hindenburg moments in a 12-month period, except for just last fall, right, prior to that fourth quarter decline. Typically, 25 Hindenburg moments was enough to signal an ongoing bear market. And so, you know, I think we're due for at least a serious correction, if not a new bear market here in the next several months. And then when you look at the sectors, those stocks that are creating new lows, you look at those sectors, it's really the, you know, retail names, the most cyclically sensitive retail names. It's a lot of small caps. It's, you know, metals and mining stocks, aside from, you know, precious, non-precious metals and miners. And those types of things, these really cyclically sensitive sectors. So this is, to me, the stock market confirming the message from the yield curve, which is recession is coming. And these cyclically sector sensitive companies are signifying that, just, you know, just like the yield curve is. And so I do think the market right now has a ton of hope priced into it. People hoping that the yield curve is going to be a false signal, the inverted yield curve. People hoping that there's going to be a trade deal, that they don't want to miss out on a trade deal rally. But you know, for a number of reasons, I don't think there's going to be any meaningful trade deal made anytime soon. And you know, there's all kinds of confirming signals that the yield curve this time is going to be effective in signaling an oncoming recession sometime over the next, you know, 6 to 12 months, if it hasn't begun already.
Yeah, I find it so interesting. And you bring up a number of good points that we're seeing extremes in markets and in some of the background data, whether it's these Hindenburg omens or whether it's the yield curve inverting, which I do think is an extreme scenario because it doesn't happen that often. Or even when you just see the amount of money flowing and altering where it flows and where the bond market goes. Do you think that's just the environment that central banks have gotten us into, or is there something more going on here where extremes are becoming more of the norm?
Well, I think, absolutely extremes are becoming more of the norm. And I think it's because of monetary policy. You know, so to answer your question, yes and yes, it's central banks and extremes are more the norm. And it's because of this extraordinary monetary policy. So the only thing that monetary policy does is it's supposed to be, the way it's supposed to work is it's supposed to be countercyclical. They're supposed to tighten monetary policy during expansion and then loosen during a recession. But because they've been so loose during the last two expansions, if not three expansions, going back to, you know, Greenspan in the late 90s, you know, cutting interest rates in 1998 and sending the NASDAQ up 100% in 1999. Same thing with real estate. You know, they've essentially, you know, become pro-cyclical, where they exacerbate the cycle. They exacerbate the boom-bust cycle. And so I think that, you know, the central bank policy over the past 25 years or so, if not longer, and at least here in the United States, has only served to create bigger booms and bigger busts than we would otherwise have. And so to see these kinds of extremes that we're seeing, you know, we shouldn't be surprised, because it's just a byproduct of extreme experimental monetary policy.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is very true. Extreme monetary policy. But it doesn't seem like that's going to slow down. Yes, we've had some presidents or officials at different central banks express concern about the direction we're going in for lower interest rates and how it's actually not helping spur inflation or economic growth. But just a couple voices doesn't seem like it's enough to change the overall direction, does it?
Yeah, and I think what we're seeing, though, is a major change. You know, the Fed is undergoing a rethink in policy right now, and they're thinking about, yeah, maybe we should allow inflation to run hot going forward. Maybe we shouldn't be so quick to try and rein in inflation. And they keep talking about the symmetric 2% target. And, you know, that potentially means if inflation runs at 1% for 10 years, they should let it run at 3% for the 10 years after that. To try and balance out that target. And I think we're seeing a lot more sympathy for this type of an argument at the Fed across, you know, almost every one of its voting members. And so there's a bias now that's shifting at the Fed from, really kind of keeping inflation under wraps to let's try and create inflation. And even so far as to say, hey, you know, if the tariffs create inflation, great, let's let inflation run hot for a period of time. And let's cut interest rates now, not to try and stimulate the economy, not to try and prop up the stock market, but to try and prop up inflation expectations. And so you have this huge focus right now at the Fed and them trying to essentially regain some type of credibility with the markets in their ability to stimulate inflation. And to the extent that that becomes their top priority, and I think it's at least one of their top, you know, two or three priorities right now, that has huge implications for the dollar, huge implications for bonds, for gold, for all of those things. And I really think that's something people really aren't paying close enough attention to, is the Fed's, adamantly trying to dedicating themselves to creating inflation.
Yeah, they really are. And they've been on the record saying that they want inflation. They haven't been able to get it yet, but you need to consider that when you do have something or someone as powerful as the Fed, they keep on pushing on, well, whatever they push on, and they, I think, eventually will get it, but who knows? It could run highly out of control when they do actually get that. Jesse, it's great having you on the show. Always enjoy our conversations. I know that our listeners also love following along with you at the Felder Report. If anybody wants more information on Jesse and his newsletter and his couple services that he offers, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I hope everybody has a great rest of their weekend. Just a reminder, next week I will be at the Beaver Creek Conference. My schedule is packed with meetings, so posting will be very light on the website. But keep the emails coming on any companies that everybody wants me to chat with, because I am more than happy to sit down with those companies and see what information I can get. Jesse, great chatting with you. Everyone, have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.